On today's show, which NBA teams have the brightest futures? We try to decide with a futures draft. Best players, mock, best picks, best front offices. It all comes into play. Plus, we rank the standout players in Eurobasket. A fun show coming up here on today's episode of Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to a Friday Locked On NBA, your daily podcast on the NBA. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat, here with Adam Matas from Locked On Nuggets. We'll take a look at Giannis, Luka, and the top performances in Eurobasket in a little bit, but we're starting with an NBA futures draft where we look at every team and make picks based on their young players, their draft picks, and our confidence in their front offices to just get it right. For the sake of defining future, we're talking about the next 5 to 7 years. And Adam, what kind of spurred this conversation on is the recent trade of Donovan Mitchell from Utah to Cleveland. And there's been a ton of analysis on this network and many others about Donovan Mitchell's fit with the Cavaliers. We've seen other big trades, Rudy Gobert to Minnesota. You and I have talked about that one. DeJounte Murray to Atlanta. How's that going to shake up the Eastern Conference as well? But I wanted to take a moment to just focus on all these draft picks that are changing hands and the fact that it feels like a lot of these teams are sort of now hoarding these draft picks and how that kind of shakes up the future of the NBA, but not just the draft picks. All the great young players that are in this league and all the other things that are going on. So we thought, all right, let's just put together a comprehensive futures mock draft that includes all of those things. Let's just jump right in. Adam, go ahead with the first pick.
One pick. I think we're going to have wildly different approaches to this. Maybe not. Maybe early on we'll have similar ones.
We always say that, and then we always end up matching up a little bit.
I wish I did not have the first pick. Because it annoys me that I'm going to take this team.
Would you like to trade the first pick for 3 unprotected future first round picks in this podcast?
If I could follow all of this, I would. I'm taking the Boston Celtics merely because, look, I think they have a great front office setup. They're a prestige team that tends to not necessarily attract a ton of high-profile free agents, but it's at least a team that you can get the solid role players once you have that in place. You know you're going to be on TV, you're going to be marketed, what have you. And they, of course, do have two cornerstone all-star players in Tatum and Brown. So to me, I look at it, would I bet money that they would be number one like 5-7 years from now? No. But I just think they have the best odds of being like good of all of these teams. So I'm going to take them.
Yeah, and if you just look at like 25 and under players, obviously Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown stand out, but they still have Robert Williams on a really nice deal too, right? They've got Grant Williams under contract for a while. Yep. They've got the phenomenal Peyton Pritchard just bringing up the back of the caboose. So
yeah, falls off a little bit there, but yeah.
He's good. I have no problem with Boston. I had them number 2 on my big board that I just sort of put together here. The way I thought about it was, all right, let me just start with the best 25 and like younger type of players. And with obviously some wiggle room in there, 26 and 27-year-olds, you know, and things like that. Then just kind of take their assets. How many first-round picks does this team have?
Right.
What do those picks look like? Are they good picks? Are they bad picks? And then again, like the front office is so important because you could give me 11 future first-round picks, but if I think the front office is going to screw it up, what do I care? And so,
they're a serious organization. That's I think the best way to put it. I think they have a great young coach. They have a front office, you know, unproven, obviously a little bit on the younger end here or newer end, I should say. But nonetheless, it's a serious organization that you don't question. Do they want to win? So I'm gonna play it safe, I guess, with this first pick.
Like I said, I had them number 2. I almost had them number 1, but this leaves the number 1 team on my big board out there, and I'm going to just go with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I know this is a team that is completely about the present with a 31-year-old Chris Middleton, a 32-year-old, I think, Drew Holiday, for whom they traded several of their future first-round picks for. But I'm not overthinking this, man. They've got Giannis. He's 27 years old, and he's going to be awesome probably for another 5 to 7 years.
He'll be all the way up to 32, which apparently is still your prime in today's NBA. And with Giannis, like, I mean, I think his prime, that'll be most likely one of the last 2 or 3 years of his prime, but still his prime.
Still his prime. And he's the kind of player that teams or other players might want to be playing with. If this is a guy who is winning multiple MVPs, multiple championships, you could argue that he would have won the championship this year again and repeated had Chris Middleton not gotten hurt. And so, look, the way I look at this is, which one of these teams do I feel good about winning the most championships over the next 5 or 7 years? Maybe Milwaukee's no good 5 or 7 years from now, but over the next 4 years, I think they can win multiple championships. I think they're that good.
This changes the equation for me quite a bit. If it's over the next 5 years, not necessarily in 5 years, is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's how I thought of it. Is like over the next 5 years is still sort of the future.
Boston's still a very good, actually Boston an even better pick, I think. Yeah, in that regard. So, yep. Okay.
All right, I like it. So I'm gonna go Milwaukee there. So I've got Milwaukee and you've got Boston. It's your pick.
Man, this changes the equation a little bit.
Whew. After these two, it doesn't really, but a little bit.
Man, I mean, it just changes the equation for me thinking about where I'll go next. I'm going to take, you know what? If it's over the next 5 years, I would take the LA Clippers.
Ooh.
I mean, again, immediate title window seems that way. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent. Coach that I think is very good in Ty Lue. And then you've got an owner who seems willing not just to spend like, oh, they'll go into the tax, but a guy who literally is like $1 million, $100 million, $1 billion over the line. Doesn't matter. Just spend. We're going to try to win. I think that means something. If you ask me, will they be good in 5 years? They wouldn't have made my list at all. But over the next 5 years, I feel reasonably confident that they'll be a contender for most of that.
I like it. The owner thing is a really good point, right? So much of this is how owners invest, and you just saw a team like the Warriors with an owner who's very open to investing in the team, willing to keep the team together, and that kind of stuff matters. The thing that worries me about the Clippers is just Kawhi and Paul George and their health overall. Sure. and things like that. But hey, I like it. Like, if we're talking over the next 5 to 7 years, if the Clippers win two championships in the next 2 years and then they're just bad for the next 4 to 5 years of that window, that's still probably more championships than most of most teams will win in that window. So my next team is I'm going to go Memphis. I'm going to start with my going younger trend here. I just think Ja Morant is that dude. I just think he's that good. I love the fit. I love the core that they have. I love the front office. I think that they draft really well. They still have most of their own picks. And I think they have a great young coach. And I think that this is a good young team that feels like they are building towards something. We've seen them already get into the playoffs and handle that stage. They just have the right competitive mentality. It feels like they're building towards something. What that something is, I guess we'll find out. But it really does feel like kind of the Warriors circa 2013, 2014 before they exploded. I'm not saying that they're going to be the Warriors. I'm just saying.
I heard it, man. I'm clipping it. I'm putting it in a file ready to use whenever I need to get back at you. Man,
Dynasty incoming.
Yeah, Dynasty incoming, according to Wes. I got to be honest. I feel like this was a Darko pick. And you're not. I'm the one that's more on the outside of this take than ever. Like I'm just on the other side of the argument here from Memphis. I'm not saying they necessarily peaked. I don't know if that's like fair to say, but to me, I'm not buying them as next. They lost some pieces even this year that I think were like, you know, some meaningful pieces. I don't know what their growth chart looks. I don't know if it's a linear growth from where they are now to where they're going next. So for me, I gladly cede you Memphis Grizzlies over the next few years, both in terms of upside at the end of it and over the course of it.
So you and I have just picked our first two teams. We're going to continue with our NBA Futures draft next. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. As we're talking, Adam, we've got the Bills blowing out the Rams on opening night in the NFL. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline. Where the game starts. Back here on Locked Locked On NBA, continuing here with our NBA futures draft. Who are the best teams over the next 5 to 7 years? I've got Milwaukee and Memphis. Adam, you had the first pick, took Boston. And then with your second pick, you took the Clippers. Who's your next pick?
I waited till segment two, Wes. Whenever we do these, you know I go full homer. I'm going full homer. I'm taking the Denver Nuggets. Yes, they have the two-time MVP, arguably the greatest player in the NBA currently. You've got Jamal Murray, who's just 25 years old. You know, people forget he's been out for 2 years, two postseasons. He's coming back at just 25 years old and, oh, by the way, under contract for the next 5 seasons. Michael Porter, is it a wing or a wait? We don't know. He's a fantastic talent, but obviously star-crossed, injury-plagued. But you've also got Aaron Gordon locked up for the foreseeable future. You've got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for the foreseeable future. You own the rights to Bones Highland for the foreseeable future. Those are all players. We first start with the MVP and say, okay, outside of maybe two or three teams, nobody else has an argument for having the best cornerstone piece. Right. And then when you talk about a Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, Bones Highland, etc., to me, I look at that and I go, that is a I don't know in 5, 6, 7 years where they'll be, but over the next 2, 3, 4 years, that's a team that should have be in the title contention window.
I've got no problem with it at all. So that's a good pick. I'm going to go with the other great young cornerstone player, and I'm going to go with Dallas. And I'm going to be honest, I don't feel great about it, but I do feel great about getting Luka on my squad here. I don't know what's up with the Mavericks. The Jalen Brunson loss is, I don't know if it's as much of a loss on paper as it is sort of a loss as an asset. I just don't really know how this team continues to improve other than small Christian Wood type deals season to season. But who's the co-star, right, with Luka Doncic? Nothing. They could make a Denver kind of move, right, where they start trading more of their picks and stuff to go get the Aaron Gordons and the guys like that. But what's great about Denver is that they have Jokic and Jamal Murray, and I just feel like Luka doesn't really have his Jamal Murray, and I don't really know the pathway to getting that player if you need to start, obviously, trading more of those picks and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's Luka Doncic. He'll probably win an MVP. You got to imagine at some point in his career he's going to win a championship, and if I'm and young players and great players like Luka just tend to figure it out. So I'm going to just bank on him figuring it out, even if I can't do it. I'm not Luka. He is. So I'm just going to go with Dallas here, and when we have that being done, we've got Milwaukee, Boston, Denver, and Dallas picked. Those are basically the MVP caliber 27 and under players, right? And now all of those guys are off the board.
Yeah. Luka is a great pick. I mean, Dallas is a great pick because of Luka. He is that good. The Dallas situation does remind me a little bit of, you know, Cleveland circa 2006 or 7, where you're very excited about the cornerstone piece. He's that good that you do always feel like you have a chance. But you also look at it and say, they're not 1 year away. I'm not sure that they're 2 years away from really having that. So you start to look at this five-year window and say, are they going to have the patience to do this in a three-year plan? I don't know. And then on top of that, can you even pull that off? So that's kind of how I look at the Luka situation. I think you're A-plus for like Western Conference Finals appearances.
Right.
Champion just feels like they're I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to build that one right way. But we'll see.
They might come to a point where they have to make sort of that Drew Holiday trade that Milwaukee made with Giannis, where you just say, you know what, let's just screw it. Let's just do it. We're going to overpay for this guy. We're going to go get this guy because he can put us over the top. Maybe that's something that works down the line for them, but who knows? But I got Luka on my team. I feel good about it. Who's your next pick?
My next pick is, and this, it gets tough here. If this really just shows your personality, I'm going Toronto Raptors. Okay. They have a very good team with some good young players. Like, I like their roster. What I'm really banking on though is the combination of ownership and management and coaching. I think that's really, they have some good pieces in place. I don't think they're a true contender right now, although I do think they're a very, very good team. But I just trust them to turn these good pieces into a couple great ones, the same way they did it with Kawhi Leonard. They just, to me, they remind me so much of the Toronto Raptors of 2017-18, where you looked at it and said, they're good, but you got a master trade maestro over there in Masai Ujiri, and I think it's going to work out.
I'm going to go Cleveland next with my pick. Man, I'm really torn between two teams, but I'm going to
Gilbert. That's who you're betting on.
I really don't feel great about it, but I'm going to do it. Just, and this is more of my confidence in Evan Mobley. I try to think of
great.
when we get to this point, now that the Lukas and Giannis's and Jokic's and John Morant's are sort of off the board, who's that next young player who's going to emerge and make us say, you can win a championship with this guy as your top guy? And I love that they traded for Donovan Mitchell. I think it's a great swing for them. Darius Garland, obviously, coming off of an all-star season. Jarrell Allen's awesome. But I think Evan Mobley is that dude. I think he's going to be that good. And I if he is what people think he is, then he could be that guy who could be the best player on championship team. And if that's the four, plus a young guy in Isaac Okoro who could still maybe pop, I don't know. That's a talented team. The thing that makes me nervous about them is, yeah, Dan Gilbert, but also the fact that they don't have any more draft picks. And this right. is kind of it, right? So this is me putting kind of all my chips on Evan Mobley. And you know what? I think he's that good. I'm willing to do it.
Your argument I found to be not as compelling. I'm against Memphis. I'm a little bit against Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. Like, I think he obviously makes them better. It's more dynamic. There's this or that. But to me, it reaches a ceiling now with that team that I think is not high enough to go all the way. In fact, I think probably not anywhere close. So I look at that and I say, as much as there's young talent, Mobley and Darius Garland, you know, some of the other pieces, I can't go there. If you would have told me, though, and the reports came out this week, Cleveland would be interested in LeBron James coming back, but on our terms. There's no longer right. he comes in here and tells us what to do. Now, that sounds like a team that knows they're a couple years away from being told exactly what to do. So that it almost came a little bit funny to me. But if you would have told me, like, look, Mobley 2 years from now, he's probably going to be starting to enter, you know, he's still in that up that steep part of the curve for him in development. Darius Garland, he told me, okay, LeBron was going to come and join those guys, or even if it was just Mobley and then you use the other guys as sort of trade pieces to complete the roster, even at 40 years old or whatever LeBron would be at that point, I look at it and I go, okay, maybe that's what you mean about
it's
the
a small factor. It's a small factor. It's a small factor.
To me, it's the only path I see for that team. I mean, Mobley's a great player. There's other things that can happen. But if you told me, if you
it
were
feels
banking
like you
on...
think this is more like what, like the Donovan Mitchell trade to you is more close to what it is that Atlanta did, kind of trading the future picks for DeJounte Murray to pair with Trae Young. And I'm sort of like, yeah, it's a nice squad, but I don't see that team winning a title. Where with Cleveland, I don't know. I don't feel great about it, but I'm looking at who else is on the board right now, and I just wanted to bank on one other great young player, and so I'm going with Evan Mobley and the Cavs. One more pick each. Make it count.
Man, my next one is the most annoying pick. I can't believe I'm picking all the most annoying teams other than, of course, the beloved and beautiful Denver Nuggets. I have to take the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you say, Adam, future. Wait a second. Future? What future? Draft picks? Young players? No.
They don't have any of those. They don't have any of those things. Austin Reeves.
Is there a path to them doing something great? No. Oh, you must be talking about management ownership. That's where the genius comes. Nope, they don't have that either. But guess what? It's the Lakers. This is how these things work. They don't have to do anything right. Every 4 or 5 years, they just cycle back into a championship team because great players force their way there. So at the end of this LeBron Anthony Davis cycle, or maybe part of it, maybe honestly, like, we kept looking at this a couple months ago saying, man, they're stuck with Westbrook. How are you going to bite the bullet? Now all of a sudden there's reports of, hey, maybe Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic for Russell Westbrook. I mean, what a great trade that would be. That's not available to anyone else on earth. Something like that will happen over the next 5 years. The Lakers will win, and it'll be heralded as great management and foresight. It'll be neither of those things. But
I love that it won't be. Right, correct. I love that take. I love that you saved it for last. You do have all the most annoying teams on your roster. You have Boston, the Clippers, and the Lakers. Congratulations on that. And Toronto, you know what? Toronto, sneaky annoying. Sneaky annoying fan base in Toronto. Sneaky annoying fan base. Congratulations to Jurassic Park. Congratulations on not paying to get into your team's games.
I love Toronto fans. Like, I'm going to pander to them. I love them.
That makes one of us. One more. Got to make a count here. All right, I'm going to tell you right away, I'm not going OKC, and I'm not going Houston. All right? I don't love the pick grabbing and just keeping my job because, oh, look at all these great future picks I have. Put a winning roster on the court before I start taking you in fake mock drafts that we do on a podcast. Screw it. I'm going to Orlando. I'm going to do it. I'm going to Orlando.
Wow!
I'm going to Orlando. I do like the fact that they have picks. They have 9 future picks coming in. But more than anything, they have the players that I believe in. You look at 25 and younger on that squad,
right,
man.
Let me hear it.
It is good. First of all, Jalen Suggs, I'm still a believer. All right. I'm still a believer. I like Wendell Carter Jr. I like Jonathan Isaac. Yeah. They got a bunch of guys. Franz Wagner is a stud.
Hey, and now we're talking. You're right. Get the good ones.
And they come out and then they draft Paolo Banchero with the number one pick.
Last two, you saved the list there, those last two. I heard a bunch of guys.
It's called the build. Well, at least I didn't mention Markelle Fultz. It's called the build. Adam. Okay. Paolo Banchero, maybe I'm just way too into seeing him at Summer League in Las Vegas.
He's good.
I'm all the way in, man. He's a prototypical wing, the kind of guy that wins championships, at least theoretically. And so I'm in. And I look, when we talk about management, they've drafted pretty well recently. They're managing the cap recently. This team is moving in the right direction. I think Moses is a solid coach. Like, what?
Do you see the practice facility? They just got a new state-of-the-art practice facility, which is a very not Orlando Magic thing to do. So,
they're turning it around, man. And so I'm going with a little bit of magic. Maybe I'll get lucky here.
I think, man, I want to be your penny stock broker. That's what I want to be. I got this great stock, man. It can't fail. Right. The more you put in, the more you earn. I'm just telling you, the more you put in, the more you earn. The Magic are a penny stock. I think this is a sneaky good pick. It's a hipster pick. I think it's much more likely to be one that you will hope gets deleted years from now. So nobody pulls it back up. But I kind of like it as your dart at the end of the draft. Just throw a dart there. See if it's a winner.
Low risk, high reward. Neither of us picked Golden State. Steph's 34 years old. They're going to have to get rid of at least one of these guys. And it kind of feels like if they don't win in the next couple of years, I see it's a tough path going forward.
A lot of young talent though. I mean,
I like Kuminga, but it sounds like they're going to have to get rid of one of these guys.
It's tough because I went into this draft preparing for in 5 years, but it's really the next 5 years. Warriors, no question, deserve to have made it on this list because they might win next year. They might win the year after. They might win both years. I think 5 years from now, they will not be. I think they'll probably find a lull of some sort, but in the next 5 years, you're right. We should have taken them way higher.
One of us should have. I just had them not as a cross off, but a little bit lower than I should have, just because I want more clarity on some of these extensions and stuff before I take them in this really important practice that we just did. All right, let's get into our weekly countdown, what we do every Friday, ranking the top performers in Eurobasket. That's coming up next here on Locked On NBA. Back here with Locked On NBA. Thank you for subscribing wherever you get your podcasts and watching on YouTube. If you are doing that, please like and subscribe. All right, Adam, it is Friday, which means we are counting down to the weekend, and you are our resident Eurobasket expert.
Yes, sir.
Covering that event live in Serbia a couple weeks ago. You've been watching these games.
Yes, sir.
The knockout round starts this weekend on Saturday. Tell us, who are the top performers in Eurobasket so far?
Well, I wanted to go stick to NBA players. Top performers, spoiler alert, it's the guys you would have guessed. It's Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic. Those three guys, three of the best players in the world, and they have looked every bit as dominant in this Eurobasket tournament. I mean, all of those guys are just putting up absurd stat lines every single game. And if you ask me right now, who are the three most likely teams to win it all, I would say Slovenia, number one, because they have the easiest path to the championship. I would say Greece, too, because they have the second easiest path to the championship, although it's a fairly difficult one. And then Serbia, three. Serbia, to me, might be the best team, but they have by far the toughest path to the championship. So all three of those teams, one, two, three, and I think a large part because of those players. So let's put them to the side, and let's say the players that have surprised me the most, NBA players who have really shined in this tournament, who might not be on your list. I want to give first an honorable mention. Two guys, neither of whom are in the NBA just yet. In Italy, you have Simone. I'm going to mess these names up, guys. I haven't really heard them a whole lot. Simone Fontecchio. He's a guy that's putting up some pretty ridiculous scoring numbers right now. Let me see if I have it in front of me. 19.2 points per game on pretty high efficiency. He's basically all Italy has, and he has been fantastic. And the other guy for Georgia, Alexander Mamukulashvili. definitely screwed that one Nailed up. He's with the Milwaukee Bucks. He had a great summer league, and now here he is in EuroBasket playing well. By the way, Simone is playing with Utah, I believe. Fonteccio. He's with Utah Jazz. So these guys will be guys you'll start hearing more of, I think, in the coming years.
Congratulations to Fonteccio and
go for
the
it.
Other one. The other guy.
Mamu Kalashvili.
Mamu Kalashvili. Great job, everybody.
All right. Counting them down. Number five. Svi Mykhailiuk. Remember him?
Of course.
Former Pistons legend and Lakers legend. Svi Mykhailiuk. He has been very impressive. Svi has been helping Team Ukraine. They were kind of a Cinderella darling for a moment here in this tournament. He's averaging 18 points per game. The efficiency has been pretty good. It's one of the top scorers, actually, in all of EuroBasket so far, and much to my surprise. And he's been pretty good. I think he's, what, yet 12th. He's 12th in scoring in all of it. I wouldn't have guessed Svi Mykhailiuk would be a top 15 scorer.
He's played for a few different NBA teams, like you said. I'm wondering, you know, if he continues to be on lists like this, if he'll get another chance. He played for the Lakers, like you said. They could use somebody like him, I think. I don't know.
I mean, they were, again, like, he came out of the gate really, really hot. Since then, Ukraine has kind of off a little bit. I'm trying to find out where they matched up in here. They got Poland. So, hey, you know what? Very winnable game in the first round of this tournament for Svi Mykhailiuk and Team Ukraine.
Get it done, Svi.
Number four, Chedi Osman. Surprised me, representing Turkey. He's been he's been fantastic. He's like a little bit surprising. You know, some of these guys, they're role players in the NBA, and then they get into this tournament, and they're a little bit more like, hey, we need a bucket. Where do we go? He's been one of those guys, and I've been very impressed with him throughout this tournament, averaging 16 points per game. And shooting 47% from the field. Not the best, but still pretty solid.
All right. Number three.
Number three, Denny Avdija. Avdija playing with Team Israel.
Israel, yeah.
And he's been very impressive as well. Another guy that, like, you think of, okay, Washington, solid player, not sure exactly what he is. He gets out here and he's the go-to guy. And he's been, you know, he's produced. He's had a couple bad games, but he's had a couple fantastic games as well. He's averaging about 15 points per game.
They need something from him this year. The Wizards do. Like, it feels like either him or Hachimura need to kind of take a leap to get things to sort of round out on that roster. So good to see him playing well.
So these names, I think, have been unimpressive so far. These top two to me are the actual two guys that have been the most impressive to me. Like the other guys, I'd give like a solid B, a surprising B. Oh, you surprised me. These guys get an A. Franz Wagner, woo! 16 points a game, 53% from the field, 50% from the three-point line. He's got major wins, including over France. They are one of, I just mentioned the three teams, Greece, Slovenia, Serbia, all favorites. Number four for me personally would be Germany, in large part because, I can't believe I'm saying this, Franz Wagner. He almost reminds me of like Mike Miller in his prime, which is to say super smart, not so flashy, but he has no weaknesses. He does every shoots, he rebounds, he just passes. I want to mock your Orlando Magic pick more, except for watching Franz Wagner this week. I'm like, that guy's got it.
I was going to mention the fact that I picked Orlando in our fake draft. So I'm glad you did it first. Thank you. Franz Wagner. He's the man.
And number one, most surprising and impressive NBA player at EuroBasket so far, Alperen Şengün. My God, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of Şengün stans out there. I don't know if you know this.
Oh,
on
yeah.
On Twitter and Reddit and stuff. There's like, he's a guy that people have kind of singled out to be there. Almost a hipstery type pick.
Yeah.
I got to say, I kind of default to not wanting to necessarily root for this guy.
Right.
18 points.
It's like if
game.
You liked Enes Kanter after it was cool.
right. He's got, but you know what's funny is though, he reminds me more of a Boris Diaw type. Like, he has this quirky game where passes really well, sees the court well, is kind of tough, can score. Let me pull it up here. 18 points per game and shooting 59% from the field on a very good Turkish team that has a chance. They play France in the first round. Should be an absolute battle. If they win, they'll match up with Serbia. Serbia and Turkey played in the World Cup qualifiers in the lead up to EuroBasket, and that was a game that came down all the way to the wire. So Turkey's been very good in large part because of Alperen Şengün.
Houston was on my list for our draft too because they have Şengün. I do like like him. I like Jabari. I like Jalen Green. I think he's going to be a stud. And they have a bunch of picks, but they're just super, super young, super, super raw, but going to be a ton of fun to watch. Like, if we did a league pass rankings, they're going to be probably high up there, at least for the beginning of the season, before they start losing a bunch of
games. Their owner wrote a book called Shut Up and Listen or something like that. Yes. And there's no way you can put them on the list now.
You're not getting rewarded on the Friday Locked On NBA. That ain't happening.
That's right. You sit down.
You sit down. Eurobasket, again, knockout round starts this weekend on Saturday.
It's great. I'm telling you, if you like basketball, this is, I've likened it to March Madness. Anybody could go home. The games matter. There's history. There's rivalry. The gameplay is like March Madness for gameplay. The gameplay is 1,000 times higher. It's like if March Madness featured Giannis, Luka, and Jokic. Like, this is, the games are very intense. A lot is on the line for the guys playing and the countries playing. It's really, really high level basketball. I will put it this way. The games you will see over the next week at Eurobasket were to be more compelling, competitive, and interesting than 95% of the NBA games you're going to see between now and Christmas.
Well, you'll be watching it. I'll be watching it. You've talked me into it. We're all here for it. That'll do it for us today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to the podcast. 30 minutes of the NBA's top stories every day. Until next Friday, you can find me over at Locked On Heat and Adam. And on his couch watching Eurobasket as well as on Locked On Nuggets. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day.